Hundreds of thousands of Mexicans are affected by drug-related violence. Whenever someone is killed or disappeared or recruited into the drug cartels, their family members are also victims. The impact on Mexican society as a whole is devastating. When the son of Mexico's best-loved poet was killed by a drug gang 2 years ago, Javier Cecilia said he wouldn't write anymore. He went on to found the Movement for Peace with Justice and Dignity. This week, Javier Cecilia and Teresa Carmona, a mother who also lost a son to drug violence, came to Vancouver to speak about their experiences and to call for an end to the war on drugs. This event was part of Voices of the Victims, an 11-city tour intended to bring debate about the human costs of the drug war to the U.S. and Canada. The tour was organized with the help of Global Exchange in the United States. On Monday, the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition hosted a panel discussion with Vancouver poet Bud Osborne, Javier Cecilia, Teresa Carmona, and Carlene Pickard of Global Exchange. We recorded the event, and we're going to bring you a couple of excerpts. First, we'll hear from Carlene Pickard. We join her introduction as she talks about what she hopes the tour will accomplish.
I remember about a year and a half ago, for the second time, when I had the honor of working with Javier, and we went to Chicago, and we had meetings and public events really similar to this event tonight. And I remember thinking, you know, I hope this is the beginning of, in that case, like people in Chicago really starting to understand the drug war in Mexico and understand the impacts of the drug war in Mexico. And, you know, I really hope that we're making the connections that make sense for people. And then about 5 months later, when the Caravan for Peace was crossing the United States, there's just this groundswell of people that came together and were more literate in the issues that they hadn't known about just a couple of months earlier. So I really hope that you all leave here tonight, you know, really different. I hope that you came tonight because you wanted to hear Javier and Teresa and Bud's story, and I hope that you leave with this mission in your heart to go out and talk to more people and to make connections that maybe people aren't thinking about around the impacts of the drug war in Mexico and the responsibility that we have in this country to make things better for Mexicans and to make peace in Mexico. So first of all, I wanted to ask folks, how many people have been to Mexico? How many of you know that we're not supposed to go because it's really dangerous right now? And how many of you have gone anyway recently? Because this is the question that people always ask me. I mean, they say, oh, you know, when I talk about the work that we do with the Movement for Peace, with Justice and Dignity, they say, oh, you go to Mexico, that's so crazy, they're beheading people there. And I feel like that's a really hard... It's a weird question because what it does is create this separation. You know, that's happening over there, and that sounds scary, so I'm not going to go. And the way that I've kind of come to answer it is also, you know, with some recognition of like, but isn't that a drag that you're not going anymore? Because we've so worked to build the Mexican economy on our tourism to make it be so reliant on Canadians escaping the weather. In addition to the drug war and the impacts of the drug war, there's the second, you know, the second wave of economic strife that's hitting Mexico because we're all too afraid, or we're being told we should be too afraid to go there now. So I'm not necessarily saying that you should go anyway, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't believe those horrible, horrible stories that are coming from Mexico, but I want you to hear them a little differently from now going forward, and want you to, you know, think about the stories of those people that are suffering as a result of the drug war, and how it isn't just simple for us to say, oh, therefore I'm not going to go there anymore. You know, but how we actually have a responsibility to say, I'm not going to go to Mexico because it's dangerous right now, but what I am going to do is work for peace in this country so that it can impact Mexicans, and I can go there in the future. It's the first thing. The context setting piece that I wanted to do is from you know, this point in 2011, when Javier Cecilia first kind of came into our life at Global Exchange, it was at a time when we were really working with Mexican partners, but also folks in the United States, to try to bring together conversations that people who work on drug policy reform, people who work on weapons regulation or, you know, gun safety in the United States, which is an oxymoron, I admit, people that work on militarization or government military aid to Mexico from the United States, and people that work on immigration. We wanted all of those people to start talking to each other because we realized through talking to folks in Mexico that you couldn't pick apart like pieces of the drug war or make a whole bunch of sense of what was happening unless you included conversations of all of those people and kind of got those people to talk to each other. So Javier and Teresa will talk, you know, very much about what became the Movement for Peace with Justice and Dignity, the important steps that the movement took in Mexico was to do these things called caravans, so literally like getting buses of people together to drive from one place to another and stopping communities along the way and be a place where people in those communities could come out and they could feel safe and they could tell stories and they could share testimony of what had happened to them or what was happening in their community, and created this whole chain of real safe spaces for people to join the Movement for Peace with Justice and Dignity. But after two of those and a whole ton of work, the movement looked at itself and looked north and said, holy, there is a lot of responsibility borne by the United States. So we need to launch a massive caravan and we need to go to the United States and bring this message of what's happening in our communities to the United States. So last August, 75, 80 victims from drug war related violence landed in San Diego, got on buses, traveled all the way across the United States, and ended up in Washington, D.C. after a month long 25 city visit. And what that really did was exactly what we're doing now again in a more targeted way, but was to start these conversations again of all of those different groups of people, but particularly you know, making those real heartfelt connections. So we're bringing these stories, and it's why the tour is called Voices of the Victims, but bringing these stories so that you can hear them, but also putting that kind of context in the background. I'm really excited about today. I think, you know, the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition did this amazing job of putting together both activists on drug policy reform, but also activists doing work in the downtown east side to be able to bring that level of context to what Javier and Teresa know and have lived, but be doing it from a very Canadian perspective. So we'll take this, we'll go to Toronto, talk with some people who are victims of gun violence, and then go on to Ottawa and share how those connections between folks in Mexico, activists in Mexico, victims in Mexico, how we need to share that story with folks in Canada, and how we need to really obligate ourselves to work for change in this country so that people in Mexico can stop suffering.
We're listening to Carlene Pickard of Global Exchange, recorded on Monday evening at an event organized by the Canadian Drug Policy Coalition. At this point in the evening, we watched a video about a week-long caravan for peace that visited 12 states in Mexico in 2011. We'll rejoin Carlene now as she introduces Teresa Carmona, who lost her son to drug-related violence. Teresa's speech is interpreted by Christine Clearin.
So in the video that you saw, the numbers that were thrown out were 40,000 people have been killed in drug war-related violence, and 10,000 people disappeared. So that was at a time before the numbers had really come forward and had really come out. So just a few years later, the numbers that we now talk about are 80,000 people that have been killed in drug war-related violence, and another 120,000 people that have been disappeared, presumed kidnapped or killed. Again, taking those numbers and then understanding that there's mothers and daughters and fathers and brothers attached to those numbers is a really crucial piece of information that we need to understand. We understand the impacts of the drug war. So here tonight, there's two people to tell their story, to talk about what happened to their loved ones. And you'll have two stories to be able to be able to think about and to be able to tell other people about, but remembering just how huge that true number, if that is the true number, really is. So I've been very, very honored to spend the last couple of days with Teresa Carmona, who's going to tell her story tonight.
Buenas noches. En esta segunda caravana al norte, más al norte, bien al norte, es muy importante para mí que ustedes me escuchen. Es importante conocer lo que sucede aquí, ver a la comunidad mexicana, ver que tienen interés en escuchar lo que pasa y esperemos que en poder trabajar para cambiar lo que pasa en México. Es difícil contar la historia una vez y otra vez. Casi todos ustedes la conocen.
So good evening, everyone, and it's very special to have brought the caravan to the north, and it's very special for me to be heard and to be listened tonight. It's important for me to know what's happening here and to see that there is real interest in changing what's happening in Mexico. My history is difficult, and it's very difficult to share it once, like over and over again. I am the mother of a murdered 21-year-old young man, a young man who had dreams, who was smart and flirty, and he was really funny, and he had more things to do in the day than he had time to do. So he was the kind of people that the world really needs to be a better place. But in Mexico, they are killing this kind of people, and those who aren't dying are becoming killers themselves, are becoming murderers, because they want to be famous and they want to have money or women, and they want to be maybe part of a narco corrido or of a song for drug dealers. So they're losing their childhood and they're losing the dreams, which is really it makes me lose my hope. These kids are being denied their future, and it's in our hands to do something. It is a very complex situation that is happening in Mexico. There's violence, there's corruption, and there's also a state that has put on makeup, and this is a simulation because there's an association between the government and the media, and they're presenting a soap opera. They're selling us Coca-Cola and fries, but there is a lack of commitment from our state, from the government, to educate, to talk about the young people who actually see the future. There's no place in universities for those people, and my son is just a number in the statistics of the government. His murder has not been investigated, and I'm tired of going to ask over and over again. So the closest thing for me was to be part of the movement for Paz with Justice and Dignity. When Javier called us and said, Have you had enough? Have you had enough? Then come. And then we all came together. There was tens of thousands of people. We were 100,000 people in the Mexican square, in the main square in Mexico City. And sadly, this is a news that is part of the past now. The people have lost the momentum and have lost the solidarity. And it's interesting to see that it's Canada where we're receiving this solidarity. So we hope that this topic is discussed, that the theme is actually this talked about, because I am convinced that this is it goes beyond geography. What happens here has an impact in everywhere else, including China, and everybody is affected by everybody else. So seeing Mexico and thinking of Mexico and what can be done from here is also benefiting you as well. I was walking down in Vancouver in the poorest neighborhood, and I was not afraid. I'm just hoping that this society, that the poorest neighborhood, can recuperate the social tissue and have access to services to programs of work and health, so that the problem does not grow any bigger, and that we should not be forgotten and we should not be left alone. So I hope that this encounter that we have here tonight is like planting a seed that is going to help us harvest in the future.
Y que no nos olviden. Que no nos dejen solos. Esperemos que este encuentro aquí sea, pues es un acto de venir a sembrar una semilla y que ese fruto lo podamos cosechar pronto juntos.
We've been listening to a couple of excerpts from Voices of the Victims, an 11-city tour of the U.S. and Canada talking about the human costs of the war on drugs. You heard Teresa Carmona, interpreted there by Christine Clearan. You also heard before her Carlene Pickett of Global Exchange. This tour will be in Toronto on November 4th and in Ottawa on November 5th.